This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Michigan's food producers are in a bind right now. So many customers, so few ways to reach them. Many of the products that we buy in grocery stores are still available, toilet paper notwithstanding, but COVID-19 has sparked some subtle disruptions for the food industry that go way beyond the point of sale. Annie Link is a partner in Swiss Lane Farms in Kent County, not far from Alto. Swiss Lane produces dairy products. Annie, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Why don't you tell us about your operation?
Yeah, so Swiss Lane Farms was started in 1915 by my great-grandpa. He came over from Switzerland. He wanted to live the American dream and become a farmer, so he started working at the Wingeyer farm, and he ended up marrying the farmer's daughter. So they bought the farm right around the corner, right next door, and that's where Swiss Lane Farms was started. So I am fourth generation at Swiss Lane, but technically I'm a fifth generation dairy farmer in Alto because of the Wingeyers. So just as our family grew, our farm grew right along with it. My great-grandpa started out with just a handful of cows and a couple of big red barns, and our farm looks a whole lot different today. But those values that he brought here from Switzerland are what, and I think the reason why this farm is still standing today. So our farm looks a whole lot different. How we do things has changed, but really why we do things hasn't changed at all. We've got 2,000 milking cows.
Oh, wow.
We're farming around 5,000 acres.
I understand that there are several dozen employees, that this has gone beyond just a family concern, right?
Right. That's the cool part. It's not just our family anymore. We have a team of amazing people that have come alongside of us and are trying to help us. Our farm's 105 years old. Well, we're trying to get to 200 years old. We've got 95 years left. So we need people to surround us and help us to carry on that legacy. So we've got about 50 employees right now.
How is everyone?
This has been tough. But the great thing about being on a farm, we're essential, you know, and we have essential work that needs to get done. We have work that can't stop. So the one thing that's good about all this is that we do get some sort of normalcy in our day. I am very thankful for being able to work and being able to take care of the cows every day and focusing on them instead of all the chaos that's going on all around us. The schedule at the farm is stayed pretty much the same.
I take it COVID or the stay-at-home order have not had an effect on your workforce or production. Has everyone been able to stay healthy?
Well, in a broad sense, no. Our employees are very healthy. We had one guy who had a cold and he stayed home from work for a week. He didn't have a fever or anything like that. So other than that, it's been just kind of business as usual. Cows are very habitual. They thrive when you give them a very consistent environment. And so a routine and systems are very important to cows. Like we have our milking schedule, our feeding schedule, everything is scheduled down to the minute almost. So if we're even behind like 30 minutes on our milking schedules, you know, something breaks, the cows let us know. They're bellowing or whatever. They just thrive on that consistency.
Wow. So the cows are sort of aware of all these fluctuations. Would you say that they have any awareness of what's going on right now as the rest of the country is kind of freaking out?
No, they have no idea. That's what I think is just the coolest thing about the cows is they just go about their day. They're eating their delicious meal that we get verified for them through our nutritionist who has a PhD. He's designing their rations. We come and dump it out for them, and then they're chewing on that for about, you know, 5 or 6 hours a day. Then they go lay down in their little sand beds, and we have fans that turn on. Last week, even the fans came on. I'm blowing nice, cool air on them all day. They go and get milked for a few minutes, about 5 minutes, and then come back to the barn, and they just do their thing. And that's the cool thing about cows. Just they are these creatures that are designed to eat things that we can't eat, like corn and corn cobs and hay, and then they can turn that into something that we can eat. We call it the little miracle of milk. Like there's this little miracle going on inside their bodies every single day, you know, making this these delicious dairy products for us. I mean, they eat hay and then we get to eat ice cream. It's awesome.
Would you say that there's something kind of helpful about being around cows at a time like this, which, you know, for a lot of people is kind of stressful as we worry about health and safety and worry about how friends and relatives are doing?
Yeah, I think anytime that you can be out in nature and kind of experiencing some of these things, it just is able to be a stress reliever. So yeah, there's even at MSU, they were promoting, I think it was last spring break, they were offering to their students $40 to come and like hug a cow or something like that. There's these cow cuddling sessions. And it is a thing. Like I tell you, just being around animals and being out in nature and just seeing the beauty in some of these small and simple things is just something to really hold on to during times like this.
The economics of the dairy industry were very tough before anyone had ever heard of the new coronavirus. Can you tell us what's going on with milk prices right now?
Yeah. So at the beginning of the year, we were so excited. Our milk prices were coming up. We were getting about $18 for every 100 pounds of milk we sell. We don't deal with milk in the gallons at the farm level. We deal with it for every 100 pounds. For every 100 weight, we call it, we were getting $18 for our milk for January and February. And then when this whole pandemic came in, we're seeing milk prices at $11 or $12. That's a 38% reduction in what we're getting for every 100 pounds of milk we sell.
Wow. How much of your business relies on restaurants and food service?
Yeah, so the industry as a whole, about 70% of all milk was consumed through food service, restaurant, and schools, and exports. So if you combine all those markets, every single one of those is being totally disrupted right now by this pandemic. Our industry is seeing right now that there's about a 10 to 15% oversupply because we haven't been able to shift the way that the milk is being processed and where the milk is being processed. To go from food service to retail looks very different.
Can you take us through the chain of events that happened to get your milk into consumers' hands?
Basically, what a dairy farm has to do is just get the milk out of the cow and cool it down. I've simplified it into those two things. So we just got to get out of the cow, cool it down. And then we have an agreement, a contract with our co-op. So they're like a broker for our farm. We go through DFA, Dairy Farmers of America. And what they do is they have relationships with different customers. They'll have a contract with Chobani or Dannon or Kraft. Or right now, our milk is going to Country Fresh, which is about 20 miles from here in Grand Rapids. They're processing a lot of fluid milk, and then they make other things like ice cream and cottage cheese, things like that. And then they'll sell it under different brands like Country Fresh, Dairy Pure, Our Family brand, which is a local Spartan Nash retailer in the Grand Rapids area.
What's happening with the company that does this processing of, you know, turning the milk into other products that people need right now?
So what's happening is the milk that is going to the grocery store, there's kind of a backup in the supply chain. So the people used to be getting their milk off of like the Starbucks. They'd go through the drive-thru at Starbucks and that's how they would get their milk. But now they want their milk just in a gallon jug off the store shelf. So all of a sudden, that's changed overnight. How people consume 70% of their dairy has changed. And we're not able to, all of a sudden, you've got the processor and then you've got the retailer not able and not ready for that big of a change overnight. So we've got to kind of catch up. And then the way that they bottle their milk. So like if our milk had been going to a big bulk cheese plant, which it does, sometimes it'll go to, it's called Maselli's Cheese in Ohio. And they make a bunch of like Italian cheeses, which is a lot of mozzarella that goes on pizza and stuff like that. So that would come out into a huge, like giant block of mozzarella cheese. And then it would go on to like Domino's or Pizza Hut or somewhere like that. Well, now you're not getting your milk or your dairy product from Domino's or from Pizza Hut. You now want it in a gallon jug or in a little 1 pound pouch that's all shredded. That, like, they can't just all of a sudden stop producing that big block of cheese and then all of a sudden start producing hundreds of thousands of pounds of milk into the little shredded baggies. So it's going to take some time. And processors right now, are they willing to invest in changing all their equipment and stuff over? It's a pretty big deal.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Michigan dairy industry with Annie Link of Swiss Lane Farms. It's near Alto on the west side of the state. I imagine it's hard for people to know if it's worth that investment to try to retool to just sell milk in a completely different way, not knowing if this situation is going to keep going for a month or 6 months, or where are we going to be 18 months from now.
Yeah. And then if you think about all the other infrastructure that we use to make any of those investments, like any of the dyes or the like a machine repair, like a lot of that stuff, they can't even work. Even if we wanted to, it might not even be an option.
There were some really heartbreaking stories reported over the weekend. Farmers in other states around the Great Lakes experiencing similar problems to what you're talking about. You know, they're producing just fine, but all these supply chain disruptions are happening. And, you know, people don't have anything to do with their product. Have you been in a situation at Swiss Lane where you've had to dump product yet?
No, we haven't. Our co-op did call and they said they were trying to plan ahead for maybe not being able to get our milk into the processing facilities over the Easter weekend, but that didn't happen. So we have not dumped any of our milk, and I haven't heard of any local farmers that have had to do that either. It has been in other states where they're producing more for the food service industries, where Michigan is not quite so geared towards that. Yeah.
Annie, have you heard any conversations, or have there been any conversations at Swiss Lane about whether this crisis of the moment, you know, suggests anything about the way dairy works in Michigan, or maybe should things be any different going forward?
Well, our industry as a whole has laid out a plan and a proposal, and we're waiting just to see where that sits with like our federal aid. So some of the plan was to try to reduce the production by about 10%. And then trying to subsidize the farmers during this time so we could try to control the supply a little bit. We think during this time, where we're not very big supporters of trying to control the market, I think the consumers and our customers should control the market and let the market decide what it needs. But during this time where no one has control over anything, like, we do think that there needs to be something to fill this gap until we can get back up, or till we can at least decide what the new normal is going to be. We can't just shut down our operations on the farm. So what are we going to do in the meantime to make sure, like, while all these changes are made, or if these changes need to be made, that the cows are still here and the farms are still here?
What's it like to consider a future in which, you know, production is just going to look different and maybe smaller?
Yeah, it's hard for me to think that this isn't just a short or temporary thing. I think because on a global scale, I just think the need for people to get high quality protein and high quality food is just going to keep increasing. And the way that we can innovate with dairy and what we can do with that and how that nutrition is good for our bodies, I think that is going to be something that's going to just keep increasing over the future. While this might be kind of a small, you know, snapshot, I just think there is a huge need globally for people to get really good nutrition, and dairy is a great way to do that. And it tastes good too. So that's the really good thing about dairy. So I think the American dairy industry has great future going forward if we can work out some of these export markets and things like that. And even the demand in the US is increasing. Like, we might not be drinking fluid milk like we used to 50 years ago, but how we consume like Greek yogurt, I mean, I love my smoothies with my Greek yogurt. I just think that is going to be increasing too. And I don't know if you knew this, but it actually takes about 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of cheese. And cheese is great for the keto diet. I mean, awesome. So I think just how we're consuming dairy changes, and then that changes the demand for dairy too. So I don't see this as being like, we're not going to need milk in the future. I think we're going to need to keep producing more milk, but just how it's consumed, you know, instead of fluid milk versus cheese or butter or something like that, or where we're sending your milk to will change.
You know, farmers deal with so many different kinds of uncertainty, from weather and how that might, you know, how that might affect crops that feed the cows to the health of the herd. How would you rate what's happening right now compared with what your family has seen and dealt with over the generations?
Yeah. So weather, I guess weather is, you're getting me right after the Easter holiday where I've just been reflecting so much on my faith. And being a dairy farmer, you realize just how little you are in control over the weather, right? You can't control. Last year would not stop raining. We couldn't get our crop in the ground. And then we could barely get the crop off the field because it was just so wet. And so just realizing like, okay, you know, God is showing us these trials and, you know, making us change and innovate on how we're planting or how we're harvesting. This is so different because I feel like it's not just weather, it's on all aspects. It's coming at us from the social, from the spiritual, from the government, from everything is being impacted, not just our crops, but even our whole community. So it's different. That's for sure.
Well, Annie, it's such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for taking a minute away from your usual work to speak with us.
Yeah, thanks. It was great. Thanks for telling our story.
Annie Link is a partner with Swiss Lane Farms in Kent County.